Today's day is December the 10th. And we have talked in the past about how that most of the churches today have denied the doctrine of original sin. And so Mark has stated that we need to reaffirm what is it, Mark?
We are born and conceived in sin.
We are born and conceived in sin. We've talked about this before, but the fact that there are so many people out there saying that we are created in the image of God, and we are not created in the image of God. God created man in his own image, but Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden when they disobeyed God. And when they disobeyed God, what happened to them, Mark?
They fell.
In the day you eat of it, you shall surely
die.
And what happened to them? They what? They died.
They died.
Spiritually.
Yeah.
They died spiritually.
What about physically? Did they die physically too?
Eventually.
Yeah.
They did.
Uh-huh.
But they immediately died spiritually, and that was a departure from their original creation being in the full image of God. And so those out there that are saying that we are born in the image of God are denying that we are born and conceived in sin. That's how things doctrinally get screwed up, because we see not only in the Roman Catholic Church a doctrine called the Age of Accountability, but in many, many Arminian churches. The Age of Accountability has to do with when a person gets a certain age, they become accountable before God. The Bible says that all men are without excuse. That includes infants. You know, you say, well, how can God make infants without excuse? Well, because they're born and conceived in sin. Now, God can save infants. God can save anybody he chooses to save. But when you deny that all men are born and conceived in sin, you're denying the Bible. The Bible says all have gone out of the way. They have all become what?
Yoked before God.
Yeah. They're all unrighteous. You know? And there's none that seeketh after God. There's none that doeth good. Another scripture says there's none good but God.
Christ talking there.
So, while we are born and conceived in sin, the thing that separates the child of God from those who are not is that they have been born again by the Spirit of God. And they uphold the Word of God. Now, those who deny the doctrine of original sin are actually lying against the Word of God. Because they're saying, no, I don't go along with that. There's many places in both the Old and the New Testament that point to the fact that man is born in a state of spiritual depravity and death. Man is totally depraved. He cannot do anything to bring about his reconciliation with God. And we've often alluded to the aspect that if a person were to physically die and was laying in a coffin, and someone came along and said to the coffin, "You're born in the image of God. You're born in the image of God." the person laying in the coffin couldn't do anything. Even if the preacher did preach to him that he was born in the image of God. The only way that physical corpse could raise from the dead, the same thing would have to happen that happened to Lazarus. Jesus came and called Lazarus to come forth. And that's what happens to us spiritually. When we're in a spiritual state of death, Charles Wesley and John Wesley, his son specifically, talked and changed the doctrine of total depravity to a doctrine of having a bent towards sin, being crippled, being tainted, and that kind of thing. He changed the Bible from being totally dead in our trespasses and sin to having a bent towards sin. Scripture says that there is none righteous, there is no not one. All have gone out of the way. They are all as filthy rags. Now, how do we reconcile these two? We can't. They're irreconcilable.
You can tell God we're sorry for our sin.
We can tell God we're sorry for our sin, but we only will tell God that we're sorry for our sin if the Holy Spirit quickens us and brings life to us. We will not be sorry for our sin if we're dead in our sins. We will have no sorrow. In fact, we will do what any other dead spiritual person would do. We'll continue right along on the path of being in bondage to Satan. Now, if we go to ask the question, how does one get out of spiritual death? Well, we see the 53rd chapter of Isaiah tells us that he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all those for whom he died for. There are millions of people in the world today who believe that they are born in the image of God, but yet they're dead in their trespasses and sin. Millions. There are also millions of people on this planet today that believe that they are going to heaven. And they believe the way they're going to get to heaven is by doing good works. And that good works, those good works, would consist of taking a potluck dinner to someone that needs it. Going in, out and ringing the bell at Salvation Army in front of Walmart. Giving to the poor. Going and visiting somebody in prison. Going and giving money to the people in Africa. Going in, out on the street and walking in a pro-life crusade against abortion. Whatever. They think that those acts are going to get them to heaven. If they're trusting in any of those acts, okay, they are not trusting in Jesus Christ. They're not trusting in his shed blood. They're not trusting in his completed work on the cross. They're not trusting in his word, which says that it is not of works lest any man should boast. They're trusting in their own works. And this is exactly what this whole doctrine of the denial of being born and conceived in sin does. It puts man on the throne. And now we have the Roman Catholic Church that has put man on the throne and called him the Vicar of Christ. And so this discussion tonight has to do with comparing the Bible and what it teaches with what the modern day Roman Catholic Church and Arminian Church teaches. The Roman Catholic Church teaches that man is a free agent, a free will. The Council of Trent upheld this doctrine of free will. It says that man, of his own volition, can come to Christ, denying the doctrine of original sin. The Arminian Church says that man has the power of choice, and his decision is what determines his destiny. The Bible says that he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. It says that for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. And those whom he predestinated, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. It is Christ that died. Okay? And so this doctrine of original sin is a bridge, if you want to call it that way. It solidifies all the other cardinal doctrines in the Bible, including the doctrine of justification, the doctrine of soteriology, the doctrine of eschatology, the doctrine of predestination election. Because if we deny that we are born and conceived in sin, we deny our need of a Savior. We deny our need of someone who shed his precious blood on the cross. We deny his work of atonement. That he, when he was hanging on the cross, he said, "It is finished." And the veil of the temple was rent from top to the bottom. If we deny the fact that we are born and conceived in sin, we uphold doctrines like we uphold doctrines that are totally anti-biblical. For an example, what about the doctrine of the Mass? Well, the doctrine of the Mass says that Christ did not die once. He did not enter once into the holy place for sin. He did not sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. That every time that wafer is offered up, it turns literally back into the body and blood of Jesus Christ again. You know, a lot of people say, well, why do you have to put all of your theology into a little box? Well, we don't. The Bible is clear that we're totally depraved, that apart from the quickening power of the Holy Spirit, we are lost. And it also teaches that God's mercy and His grace extended to His people was His choice, not ours. It was unconditional election. There was no conditions placed on His choosing His people, because He did it before they were even born, not having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. Well, it also is directly related to the doctrine of particular redemption. We know that if all men are born and conceived in sin, that not all men will be redeemed. Not all men will be recipients of God's mercy and grace. If all men were recipients of God's mercy and His grace and His shed blood, then all men will be in heaven. Now we know that hell was created for the devil and his angels. But we also know that the Bible says that there were certain people that will be cast into hell forever, where there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And we know that those people are not all fallen angels. We know, for example, the rich man that went to hell was not a fallen angel. And so we also know that this redemption that Jesus Christ came to save His people from their sins does not extend to all individuals without exception. Now we also know that once a person has been a recipient of God's amazing grace, that grace is an everlasting grace. It is not a temporary grace, because the Bible says that for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. That means He predetermined what their destiny would be. And so hence we have a linkage between preservation and preservation. God preserves us, and because He preserves us, we persevere in our faith. Now, we haven't touched on irresistible grace. Irresistible grace is something that changes the state that we're in. It changes our spiritual state. If we're dead in our trespasses and sin, Ephesians says that we've been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. Okay, we've been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son by the power of the Holy Spirit through the efficacious blood of Jesus Christ, through the effectual calling. And so when we talk about irresistible grace, you know, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. A wretch. Spiritual dead person. I once was dead, but now I'm found. Now I'm alive again. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear. Okay? Grace is what brings about the response of the sinner to embrace the gospel. So if we're dead in our trespasses and sin, we're born and conceived in sin, which the Bible says that we are, our only hope is that the Holy Spirit will quicken our hearts and cause us to embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. His oath, His covenant, His blood supports me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. when he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found to rest in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before his throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. That's the answer of a heart that has been irresistibly drawn and quickened by the Holy Spirit to Jesus Christ. Those who say other things like, well, look at all the good things I've done. You know, look how many years I was on the mission field. Look how long I've worked for the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Look at how many times I've stood out in the pro-life, anti-abortion line. Look at all the money I've given to poor people. And on and on and on. They are not trusting in the works of Jesus Christ. They're trusting in their own works. Martin Luther nailed his 95 Theses up on the door of Wittenberg. And he was coming against the doctrine of works. He had discovered that the just shall live by his faith. No, I don't agree with everything Luther did and everything Luther said. I'm just giving that as an example. He contended, he didn't, a lot of things he said, I don't agree with. And, you know, where the Lutheran church ended up, and Luther was having tendencies toward that. He didn't always preach universal atonement, that's for sure. But that's certainly where the Lutheran Church is today. But it's a lie. Again, God did not make it possible for all men to be saved. If he made it possible for all men to be saved, all men would be saved. Salvation is not up to man. Salvation is of the Lord. And we see that throughout Scripture. People say, well, yeah, but he says whosoever will may come and drink of the water of life freely. Well, the whosoevers are those who have been predestinated before the foundation of the world. They've been adopted in the family of God. They've been recipients of God's grace. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And it says that he knew Jacob. And, you know, he also says that he found... Look, the thing of it is, Jeremiah he knew from his womb. From the time that Jeremiah was in the womb. And he has chosen out a particular people to be recipients of his grace. None of us are worthy of his grace. None of us are worthy of his love. None of us are worthy of his mercy. But we all who have found ourselves fleeing to Jesus Christ have found refuge in the rock. The rock. The rock Christ Jesus. So tonight, as we think about this doctrine of original sin, we realize that there's great hope for us who have fled to the rock for our to our Savior. And like we've said many times, when we were talking about the doctrine of original sin, you know, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm not my own shepherd. He maketh me to lay down in green pastures. I certainly don't make myself to lay down in green pastures spiritually. He's the one that leads me beside the still waters. I don't even know where the still waters are without being quickened by the Holy Spirit. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Well, I can tell you, before I was spiritually alive, I was fearful of evil. evil enslaved me and held me captive. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. You know, thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Thou preparest a table before me in the very presence of mine enemies. I couldn't have any kind of rest or comfort in knowing that I could do anything apart from Him, knowing that the Bible says that I'm born and conceived in sin, and in Adam all died, but in Christ all are made alive, all that are Christ, all that are Christ's people. So we have this discussion tonight about the doctrine of original sin, and we ask ourselves the question, why do so many people deny it? Well, because they don't want to admit that they are wretched. They don't want to admit that they're worms, vile worms, in need of a Savior. They want to actually think that there's a spark of good in them. They want to think there's something in themselves that merits God's favor. God's grace is unmerited. Unmerited grace. But people want to think that they have some redeeming characteristics and they can come to God because of these redeeming characteristics that they have within themselves, that there's a spark of good in them, that there's something in them that merits God's favor. But God says the opposite. God says we're less than grasshoppers. God says that He works all things after the counsel of His own will. And none of us are worthy of His grace. None of us are worthy. We're all worthy to be cast into the lake of fire. But what made us worthy is the death on the cross of Jesus Christ and His shed blood for us, and trusting in the merits of His works, not our own. Not, you know, works of righteousness that we have done, but through His own mercy He saved us. Through the washing and regeneration of His blood, He gave us life. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God, and sprinkling the blood of Jesus Christ. That is the answer of a good conscience toward God when we go into the waters of baptism. Baptism doesn't save us. It's an answer of a good conscience toward men, that God has done a work in our hearts. And that's why infant baptism is an atrocity. It denies the effectual work and the effectual blood of Jesus Christ and puts man on the throne. It's just like a replacing circumcision all over again. The doctrine of original sin, if it is not clearly and pointedly conveyed, then men will be confused about their state, their natural state before God, and their hopeless condition. Father, we thank You for this discussion. We pray that You would continue to go with us and help us this to resound in the hearts of those who have fled to Your cross for mercy, and that You're the author, the finisher of our faith, and Your precious blood was manifested when Christ came and gave Himself for us. We pray that You would use this discussion for Your glory. In Christ's name we pray, amen.